I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to start with a roll call. Do we have Rafiq Damick? Hello, Rafiq. Are you with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe, operator, you could just say the names of the people who have joined the call.
Okay, sure. Alex.
Thank you.
Is it Gaguru? Robin Gross, Avery Doria, Bill Drake, Wolfgang Kleinwalker, David Cake, and Wendy Seltzer.
Great, thank you very much.
This is David. I'd just like to say I'm here only very briefly. I've got to board a plane.
Okay. Thanks, David.
Was I muting and unmuting when my name was said? If I was, I'm here. If I wasn't, I'm not.
Okay. Great. Well, let's get started. We've got a few items on our discussion agenda today. Rather than going through them all, I put them on the whiteboard in the Adobe Connect room. Does anyone want me to go to quickly say the items on the agenda?
No.
Okay. Okay. Well, then let's just get started. The first issue is should the GNSO Council disband the IOC RC drafting team or send new instructions to the drafting team. So as many of you know, the board has rejected the recommendations that came out from this drafting team, but that hasn't really deterred the drafting team from continuing to go forward and try to come up with additional recommendations. So some are concerned that this drafting team should be given some further instruction from the GNSO probably disbanded. And so this is an issue that's on the agenda, the discussion agenda for the council tomorrow. And so I think, you know, it'd be good for us to have a little discussion on this and try to get a feed for where the stakeholder group is and give some guidance and feedback to the counselors on this. So let me just kind of open this issue up broadly and see if anyone has anything they want to add on this. Aubrey, I know you've been pretty active in the group. You want to give us your take on the situation?
Sure. Yeah, I was just getting mute off and was going to raise my hand.
Oh, great.
but while you're doing that, you called on me. So, yeah, I mean, I think, and what I wrote, is that they should be given instructions on what further to do. I think that they owe, you know, a sort of report on the why and what they're for. What came out from them earlier was, you know, a quick sort of, as I understand it, a bit of what they had decided and a reporting on their discussion. So I think if they do anything, what they need to do, and I guess I'm on it now, so what we need to do is to basically take everything that was said before, get it into a report, and then at least go on hiatus. I think it's not unreasonable with the fact that an issues report will be coming out, that information be fed into the issues report. I think it's not unreasonable, believing as I do that a PDP will be started, that this group can then be the group that proposes the charter. Because it's constituted, it'll save time. I think a lot of people have indicated that there's concern that the second level name discussion not happen and complete in time for the first, new GTLDs. And I think that's the cudgel that they're going to use for saying we've got to keep this drafting team going because the PDP can't do that in time. And I think, you know, we know there's at least a year, and I think that it's possible for the GNSO to produce a charter that sort of says, and get this done in quick order, at least this first discussion, you know, however broad the discussion wants to get of what happens at the second level, and so on. And this is the last thing. And so keeping the drafting team alive, but only for packaging, input to issues report, and charter production as its limited activities to help accelerate the PDP process. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Aubrey. I have a concern about the drafting team because it seems pretty unbalanced. Like, you know, it's just being driven by the organizations that are asking for these special rights. And so I'm wondering, is this drafting team the right place for this work to be done? You know, I mean, it just seems like this is the Olympic Committee drafting the rules and Jeff and Jay Scott, you know, just forcing them on everyone. How do we get around that? How do we make this a little bit more of a fairer process?
Robin, I think this is Wolfgang. I think you put the finger on the right point. To continue a discussion on the issue is, I think, to a certain degree needed also to clarify a lot of other issues, because my understanding from the whole procedure was that IOC and Red Cross were used as an opener. So that means to create a case where a lot of others could follow. And so this happened on the first level. Fortunately, it was closed by the board, but this will, you know, come now with the second level. What we did in the drafting team in the last meeting, I'm a member of this team, was that we asked the IOC and also the Red Cross to give us more evidence, you know, what is really the fear and what is the documented misuse of their name on the second level. And they promised to provide us this information in form of a study or a case study or whatever, so that we can work on facts and not just on fears or, you know, estimates or whatever. So, and I think, you know, this would be the next step in my eyes, whether the group continues or not, that we wait for their deliveries, that they are deliverable, so that they present us in a study, you know, where they document facts where the name was misused. I think we had heard the outcry in San Jose that if we don't do anything, then children will die in Pakistan or things like that. So that means this is just bullshit. But if they come with concrete, you know, cases, this would constitute a better basis for a discussion, and then we can decide whether we need a special drafting team or not. So that means between the decisions yes or no at the moment, I would say, you know, we should keep it on hold, wait for the presentation of the facts by the two committees, and then the council could decide whether there is a need to continue with the existing drafting team or to establish another drafting team.
Yeah, and that really does sound like the best way forward. I'm wondering, do you have a feeling that the council shares that view, or are other stakeholder groups on the council really ready to do that PDP and ready to give these second-level restrictions, or do you think the council is saying, "Whoa, this is a can of worms here. We better not go near this." Or, you know, does anyone have a sense for where the council is going to come down on this?
Sorry, I'd like to add something else.
First, please.
Of all, in terms of this particular drafting team, it is an open drafting team, so anybody can be on it. I just joined, so the fact that it's got Jay Scott and Jeff on it is probably irrelevant. If we have enough people that we want to stick on it, we can. The fact that, you know, it's being driven by the International Red Cross guy, you know, the one that tried to become a member of NCSG, I forget his name.
The Olympic Committee guy, right, James Bigoff.
Right. You know, it's sort of beside the point. I think that what Wolfgang is asking for is actually probably asking for too much, because that's asking them to do more work. And what I'm recommending is that we don't ask them to do anything new, just document what they've done. Now, if that includes the IOC list of when it's been a problem, great, and that feeds into the issues report. I think if we give them any work to do before the PDP happens, then, the PDP won't happen. And sometimes I think doing a PDP, avoiding a PDP is a way of avoiding a nasty policy. In this case, I think we have to do the PDP to avoid a nasty policy and get everything out. So I asking them to do more work, like the research with IOC, doesn't actually strike me as the best idea going forward. It's asking them to close up shop and then perhaps just sit waiting hands folded, because somebody is going to have to write a charter, and an open drafting team to write a charter that exists is as good as any other. The list is there. The people are there. We can add people. Thanks.
I'm not sure I understand why avoiding the PDP would, why not avoiding the PDP would prevent
because a
bad policy.
Because if you don't do the PDP, the policy will be defined by the drafting team. And there's no way that NCSC will ever get enough votes to stop that.
But if this drafting team is stopped,
but it won't,
and the council says we don't want a PDP, I mean, isn't that in some ways the best possible solution?
Yep.
Isn't that what we should be going for? I don't know. Does anyone else want to get in the queue on this issue?
Who's in the bus terminal?
I'm sorry, what was that, Bill?
Who's in the bus terminal? I'm hearing a lot of noise. Or is that just my end?
I don't know. I mean, you sound a little bit like maybe you're in the bus terminal.
All right. Well, I'm not quite sure I'm following Aubrey's point. Maybe she can say it more slowly for the slow-witted amongst us, because I kind of like the idea of what Wolfgang is saying. I mean, these people forced all this stuff down our throat. They made everybody deal with all this stuff. They drove the whole process. I kind of like them to have to actually put up a concrete case and show us where the problem is before anybody considers doing anything else, because this whole thing has been kind of based on suppositions and scare tactics and abstractions and shadow boxing and all that. I mean, why not ask them to cough it up? You've got problems. Show us exactly what they are. I think that's a nice first step.
Okay. You want me to answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Asking the drafting team to do that,
No, not the drafting team.
Okay. Then what you're going to ask for, then looking at the process, if you got an issues report. The issues report is going to come out in draft form. That's the new PDP process. Includes a draft of the issues report. In that draft of the issues report, for people to then say, hey, where is this information, and demand that be added to the issues report, I totally agree. To if a PDP gets started, or if that question is not answered in a PDP, I think it's a great question to ask. But to ask the question outside the context of the issues report or outside the context of the PDP is an excuse to keep the drafting team running. Or at least that's the way I see it.
As I understood what Wolfgang was saying, his proposal was the drafting team sits on its hands and waits until these people come up with some product on their own.
Bill, you're absolutely right. I did not propose that the drafting team should write the case study. It should be done by the two lawyers from the IOC and the Red Cross, that they bring evidence, and then based on this, then the council can decide whether there is a need to continue with the drafting team or not. So the workload goes to the IOC and the Red Cross and not to the drafting team.
If you ask for that, what I believe you'll get is that they will feed that to the drafting team. That's just my prediction.
Let's have the facts on the table, and then we can discuss it much better.
How would the drafting team be in a position to itemize the problems experienced by the International Olympic Committee?
Okay.
I mean,
you're right.
Yeah. What would the drafting team do there? I don't get it.
The drafting team would work with them to do. Believe me, I'm just betting that if you ask them to do that outside the context of the issues report, it's the drafting team that will be charged with doing that, that there won't be a notion of asking the IOC to report directly to the council.
But, I mean, in some respects, isn't this the council taking it out of the drafting team's hands and saying, we, the council, want you, the Olympic Committee, to give us some evidence that we ought to do this? And, you know, the drafting team sits on its hands during this process. And so the Red Cross comes back with their sob story, but they have to sell it to the GNSO and not the drafting team. I mean, at least that's...
They've already sold it to the GNSO without evidence. The only people asking for evidence is the NCSG. So
isn't there this fear of these other IGOs? I mean, we've seen the letter from the other IGOs, and everyone else wants something now. And the GNSO is beginning to realize, oh boy, look at the can of worms we've opened up here. Here's our chance to stop it. So maybe they won't be sold the bill of the sob story so easily. I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm just, you know, thinking out loud here.
Robin?
Yes.
I think I understand the point of Avery. If we want to stop this drafting team for working, we shouldn't ask now for case study or any kind of study, but first stop it from working, only asking that they document what they did till now, and then after we can start the whole process by asking an issue report and so on. But if we ask now, we may give a reason for this trusting team to continue and to expand its works. They can use other counselors, they can use this as a reason that to push you, okay? You want something? You want the case study? So let's
Okay, Rafiq, how would you propose we go about getting this closed down? What do you think?
I think that, like, to ask about the case study is kind of to delay or as a kind of delay, but it's also to give the drafting team a reason to be alive. What we want is to stop this drafting team. So they document, and so they stop, thank you for your work, and so on, and we move to something else if we can start the PDP process, normal process, because we complain about the process. And then we may ask about the issue reports, but not asking the IOC to make that study, because we need a third party to do it, not the IOC or other entities.
Rafiq, we ask it, that the drafting team asked it already, the IOC and the Red Cross, to do this. So the question is, before we make a decision about the continuation of the drafting team, we should wait until the IOC and the Red Cross provides the information to the council, and then the council can decide whether a drafting team is needed or not. So this is this would be my proposal, but I have no clue, you know, what the majority position in the council is. I see there are a lot of councillors, you know, are rather skeptical that this was a bad idea, you know, to have the drafting team and to try to please the GAC and the IOC and the Red Cross. But it's difficult to make any forecasts, you know, what the majority would be. So insofar, you know, our constituency should be rather flexible with regard to the procedure, but very clear that we do not want to have, exceptions. Because these exceptions would start, some people have already said, the opening of the can of worms. But now to fight whether continuation or not, I would say, you know, that we have no facts that we can continue. So that means we have to wait. So I would postpone it until, you know, the issue has disappeared or some sensational facts come on the table that we said, okay, we have to do something. Why to fight a battle, you know, which is really not needed, and to fight for a principle at this moment? So that means to be more or less just postpone it.
But fighting is fun.
Okay. Go ahead. So.
Well, Well, I'd rather kill it than fight it. So if we can just kill it, that's better off. So this isn't something that the council is actually going to vote on this week. Is that right?
Well,
they're just going to discuss it?
Well, we're going to talk about, but what, can we do this as a two-stage thing? I mean, you got to figure that we're going to be alone in this no matter what in any event, right? So why don't we propose Wolfgang's approach to start, and everybody says no to that, and that the drafting team has to continue, and then in that context, then we insist on that they take up the problems for Avery.
This would be okay for me.
Works for me.
I mean, you know, they're gonna want to keep going, right? No matter what. So, at least we make the procedural complaint that hey, we're gonna keep going. We don't even know why. How about giving us a why first, and then they're gonna give them the opportunity to once again wave us away like a bunch of, you know, slow-witted children who just don't get it, and then. Which turns out to be funny when we win. But anyway, and then we can take up the next step. I mean, Aubrey, otherwise, I mean, what's your suggestion as what we would go in asking for? Just that they limit themselves, right? Hello.
What I was suggesting was that you insist that the only thing they have to do is to document what they've done. All the other issues that are pending belong in the issues report that the council has already approved.
Okay.
That's what I was saying.
Is saying that mutually exclusive with what Wolfgang's saying?
Right.
Yes. Because I think any work you ask them to, any work you ask IOC to do outside the context of the issues report, if you want to ask what Wolfgang's asking for, to please include that in the issues report, you know, and so Wolfgang's, because one of the things that was pending in the DT was, you know, the IOC reveal of what harm it actually has caused, that should feed into the issues report. So when that's brought up, and then it's okay. If everything feeds into the issues report, I think there's a margin of safety and a possibility that you can get them mostly shut down. I think if you ask the IOC to report to the council will decide that the DT working with the IOC is the right people to produce that report. That's my guess of how chips will fall if you ask for anything outside of issues report. Ask for everything inside of issues report. You've already approved doing that, so that's the place to put all the content. Except for the history of what these guys talked about in the past.
If we are, does there have to be consensus on how this will be done?
I think telling a drafting team what to do would probably fall under your majority rule. This report, you've already started that. That's kind of like a done deal because you already voted on that.
No.
And the issues report, as they're currently designed, will have a review period and a comment period before finalizing the issues report. That's one of the new PDP innovations. But that means anything that's wrong in the issues report, anything that's missing in the issues report, everyone will be able to demand. But you've already approved the issues report. So the argument that I've been trying to make is that the group has no work to do because it's been superseded by the request for an issues report that might initiate a PDP. If it has any work to do, it is tying up what it did in a nice little package and documenting it and giving that to the issues report. So that stuff feeds into there.
All right, so the bottom line, if I understand correctly, the trade-off is we have to, if you go Wolfgang's route, there's a risk that's taken as a mandate to give the drafting team something new to do. On the other hand, if we go in and we say they should only tie up the loose ends and report on what they've done and then stop there, isn't it just as likely that they're going to say, no, we think that we need to push on to do new things too. So either way, they're going to try to expand the horizon of what they get to play with, aren't they?
Of course. And I think you play into that by asking them to do something. So perhaps ask for them to do nothing and just blink out of existence is the best thing, but, you know, I doubt you'll get that.
Right.
Well, it seems like these are not really mutually exclusive concepts. On the one hand, we're saying, okay, drafting team, you just write a report about that says what you've done. Just tell us what you've done. Don't do anything more. Just tell us what you've done. And that happens, and then that ends the work of this group. And then at the same time, the council can go to the IOC and say, you know, you need to show us some evidence. We've heard from this drafting team. We've heard from people in public comments, and now we want to see some kind of evidence from you. And put it back, the burden back on them. But in the meantime, this drafting team has been closed. That's what I would think we would want to do.
It just seems to me that there are people who have been on the list saying this repeatedly enough. I'm not in the drafting team, so I don't know what's being said in that list. But on the council list, you've got people who keep saying, oh, we owe it to the GAC. We have to give the GAC something. We'll look bad if we don't respond to the GAC. We've got this new cooperation with the GAC. Everything depends on us being good soldiers. And so, in fact, it was also suggested by somebody that the council should adopt something to the GAC, a letter to the GAC saying, by the way, we supported you, which was nicely ignoring the fact that a quarter of the council did not. But, I mean, so the point is that they're going to be pushing to – I just really think if we say what Avery's saying, you know, you should just tie up the loose ends, report what you did, and stop, they're not going to accept that. That doesn't sound like what they want to do at all. So that's why I was inclined to think, well, then tie them up by saying we'll hold it up until we actually hear something concrete. But, of course, neither of those will probably end up working anyway. So –
I don't know. I mean, maybe we should. This is where we should do some outreach, you know, one-on-one discussions with some of the other stakeholder groups and get a feel for where they are and try to see if, you know, we can persuade them to coming around on this issue.
You know, at the end of the day, I almost kind of think, how much does this matter? The worst-case scenario is they go off and they create the. They keep this silly group going, and they spend a bunch of time spinning their wheels on stuff that, you know, the last thing they did was not accepted by the board. If they want to preoccupy themselves with a bunch of labor that also might be deemed ultimately irrelevant and that they might spend a whole bunch of time on, it's not like the end of the world. I mean, if we're getting into the point of ICANN where, like, whether a drafting team does anything, you know, is a make it or break it issue. I mean, there's a lot of bigger fish to fry, aren't there? Am I missing something? These guys can't do that much damage, right? Or am I missing something?
Well, I think in terms of the single issue, it's not much damage. But, you know, just in terms of keeping ICANN working.
Yeah, but if they insist on this, if they want to blow, you know, if they want to spend their time on it, are we going to be ICANN's efficiency experts? I mean, it's their time and energy. If they want to spend a bunch of time trying to figure out how to say something nice to the GAC about second level when we've got this other process beginning anyway, it would have to be, you know, whatever they come up with would have to go through the council again. We'd have the same discussions. I mean...
By the way, we spent now already 30 minutes for this first item on the agenda. And I think, you know, it's not worth really to spend another half an hour on this item issue. I have to leave after 1 hour, so I think more or less we have an understanding, you know, what to do, and let's wait what the council is doing. I would not propose that we start immediately the discussion. We wait what others are seeing, and I think we've got a lot of good recommendations, you know, how we position ourselves. We have a clear objective, and then let's be as diplomatic as possible in the discussions in the council tomorrow.
I refuse to do the latter, but certainly, you know, we can certainly say what Avery has suggested, that, you know, if it's going to do anything, it ought to just document and then stop. I'm pretty sure that they'll say no to that. Then we could throw the other one at them and say, well, then first let's do the We could do it in that order. We could start with Aubrey's, and if they, and when they wave that away, then we can throw Wolfgang's at them and say, well, then first we need to know what the hell the problem is. And then they'll throw that away, and then they'll proceed with what they want to do. What? I mean, right?
Right, but, you know.
but we will have at least, you know, had two chances to tweak them, you know. So.
I mean, from behind.
No, I think that's right. And I also want to be conscious of the time and move on to other issues. So unless anybody else wants to add something to this or thinks we ought to do it differently, speak now, please. All right. Great. Great. Thanks so much for that. Okay, so the next issue is this URS summit that was put into the ICANN proposed budget for financial year 2013, whereby the staff is apparently proposing to create two summits, meetings, to rework the GNSO negotiated URS proposals, the Uniform Rapid Suspension proposals, that was carefully negotiated and crafted by the GNSO. And so this is a bit concerning for some of us who worked very hard to come up with what the URS should look like, that now, based on a lot of pressure from the IPC and the business constituencies, these issues may be reworked by calling for the summit. I understand there's some issues of the cost that trademark holders are complaining that the cost are not realistic for what can be done with these kinds of complaint resolution services. I'm not sure that I particularly buy that argument, but I'd be happy to hear it if somebody would like to make it. So anyways, that's just sort of the general issue on this issue is, you know, has anyone heard anything more about what the staff proposes on these URS summits and how do we want to react to them? I've seen some discussion on the GNSO council mailing list, so it looks like the GNSO is interested. Let me just open it up. Anybody want to speak to this issue?
My sense is that people want it to happen in the GNSO. If anything's going to happen, they want to have a participatory conversation with all the stakeholders involved rather than the staff organizing some little summit where the IPC and selected staff get together and go hide somewhere. By the way, is a summit defined anywhere in the ICANN bylaws? Is this an actual thing?
No.
Can you declare a summit and suddenly you get to exclude anybody you want and pick anybody you want and so on?
I think they're playing pretty fast and loose by the seat of their pants, but they get away with it. I mean, look at what they did with IRT. That was same sort of let's just make it up as we go along kind of a process, and you know, that was a disaster. So, you know, that's kind of what my concern is, that maybe they would try to create something along those lines, and it would be, of course, staffed with the trademark interests. In terms of who would be invited and who could afford to participate, once again, would just be the trademark interest. So it would be, you know, a situation where non-commercial users would be disadvantaged in participating. And again, I'm concerned.
Right? This is a straightforward point. We just, you know, we should insist that if there really has to be any discussion of this, it should happen in the council, full stop.
I think that's right.
Okay.
I think Kathy has her hand.
I support that view. It should be in council.
Last one. Can everybody hear me? This is Kathy, and just came
yes.
off mute. Great. Hello, everybody. How are you? I came on for this conversation because I was hoping somebody on the GNSO Council might have some more information. But I wanted to share something with you that I found rather astounding. I actually went – the International Trademark Association, INTA, is meeting here in Washington this week. Every trademark attorney in the world is at the Washington Convention Center. And that's a lot of trademark attorneys. So Jay Scott was doing a session on – he was moderating a session on ICANN. And it just happened to be at a time when I needed to be in D.C. anyway, and I asked if I could go. So he very graciously said yes, since it's a very important, very expensive conference, and I wasn't going to pay for it. The URS issue came up, and I need to tell you that they seemed as surprised as we did, and I wanted you to know that. I was really surprised that they came up and they said, what's the summit, and is it going to undercut our rights? And I thought, hey, that's exactly what I was thinking. So it seems to have come out of the blue. I think the impetus may actually be coming from the providers themselves. My guess is, and I don't think, does anybody know if a formal RFP went out, request for proposal went out to the providers? I don't think so. If you know, then please let me know. But I think the informal input back from WIPO and the National Arbitration Forum, NAF, is that they cannot provide the services for the URS at the price point that ICANN has promised the community, which is $300 to $500. And so somehow I think that's where the real pressure is coming from. So on some of the lists that I'm on, the answer seems to be, well, put it out for a request for proposal and see if somebody else comes back and can deliver the services within the price point. You know, if there's informal input from two that they can't, well, what about others? Maybe we'll have some new providers step forward, which, frankly, I think would be a good thing. But anyway, just a thought that this seems to have caught a lot of people off guard.
Well, WIPO just opened a new building with a nice cafeteria. So they got costs.
I'm glad their old cafeteria was terrible.
That's interesting, Kathy, that the IPC was just as surprised about that. That's an interesting thing. So maybe, I don't know, I mean, why would they need to really rework the provisions? I mean, I think we just need to hear more from staff about what it is they want to happen. What is the scope of this summit? You know, I guess everyone now is just kind of worried about, you know, what their fears could be for it, and we really don't know what the staff has in mind.
I am very, 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 very worried about it, and I'm with Bill. I think it should go through the GNSO, and I think you may find an unusual ally in Jeff Newman on this one, because as much as he's pro-IP, he is emphatically pro-process. He doesn't want ICANN creating policy. He doesn't want ICANN staff or the ICANN board creating policy. He wants GTLD policy to go through the GNSO, and he seemed pretty upset by this as well. So an interesting ally might be there.
Very interesting.
Yeah, Wendy, and I think that's all quite interesting. Of course, there's no reason, and indeed there would be substantial concerns if the constituency of existing providers were able to change process so that new providers weren't welcome. I think it sounds as though we have quite a lot of support on council for this is a matter for the GNSO, and where's ICANN staff coming up with?
Yeah, it seems a little bit backwards, too, to be saying, you know, for these providers to be telling us we need to come up with different policies because it doesn't fit within their price structures. It's like, excuse me. these are our needs, and if you can't meet those needs, we'll find somebody else who will. You know, it just seems like totally backwards for the providers to be telling us we need to do things differently because they need to be able to make, you know, their expected profit, and they can't do it this way. So I guess we have to come up with different policies. So,
Robin, quick note though, it's all hearsay. None of this is documented. So I'm just trying to provide information, not necessarily facts, of where we think this is coming from. But none of this is proven, and I haven't actually seen. You know, this is all whispers, where we think it's coming from. But none of it's actually proven.
I may be in a hallucinatory fog, but I seem to think somebody mentioned this already on the council list, that it was that the providers were saying that there was a price point problem. I just didn't take it that was the only thing going on. But if that is the only thing going on, that's fine.
I think my view is that I think why Jeff is upset about it and others who are also getting surprises, I think we could ask the council whether maybe we have gone back to the days when staff used to turn implementation policy and they pass it through implementation. We could actually focus on staff and seek to find out why they are creating that, what is anchored on what you said, Bill, earlier. Is it anchored on bylaws? What is it all about? And then we ask those questions and mirror on them. And then all these other allies And then at least this is one of the ways of also building bridges with other people. So maybe we can nuke it. Yeah, it's my view.
Okay. Did anyone else have anything they wanted to add on this issue?
Yeah, to get as much details from staff about their ideas for the summit as well. Like, work in parallel, fight it, and yet make sure that if it happens, we're there.
So this is Wendy. I appreciate that, but I would push harder on the kill it than get details on it. If there's no support, can it even happen? Yes, anything can happen. But especially while everybody's distracted by Taz's complete screw-ups. Is that on our agenda, by the way?
It is.
Okay.
It is. Item number 6, new GTLD application issues, delay, et cetera.
Are we on item number 2?
We are. We're getting it up. So unless – does anyone else have something they want to add on URS, or can we move to number 3?
Go get them.
Okay. So tomorrow the GNSO is to vote on creating a drafting team for best practices to address abusive registrations. I believe this is a motion from Zahid, the business constituency. So I'm hoping somebody on council can, or this drafting team can give us a little bit of information about this motion and what these best practices are about. Does anyone have any information on that? Because council's going to vote on it tomorrow, so we should try to wrap our minds around it here.
I'm not on the group, so I don't know. Generally speaking, you know, non-binding best practices do not offend me deeply. The abuse issue, of course, is not our issue, our leading issue, but I'm not sure that there aren't real issues there that some non-binding best practices would be a legitimate step towards. So a priori, unless somebody tells me that it's a risky, slippery slope that leads to hell, I'm not sure I would see what the fight would be about. But if somebody tells me that we should fight, I'm always happy to vote against the Zahid proposal ever since he told me that people were going to die if we didn't support the IOC. So, anyway.
Right, okay. I've got two hands up, Avery and Kathy, and then I'll get in the queue also. Go ahead, Avery, and then Kathy.
Yeah. My point on it is that it should never be a drafting team doing something except writing a charter. That the whole construct inside the GNSO is the whole working group model, where you guys have actually approved the guidelines and how a working group works with what it means to have consensus or whatever. But if you're going to do anything, it can't be a drafting team. As for a working group doing guidelines that is properly open and governed as a working group should be, I have no issue with it, but I have a strong issue with yet another drafting team that has no basis in GNSO process other than perhaps to write up a charter suggestion.
Well, that's what it is, right? It's just the charter, isn't it?
Is it?
I thought so.
Take a look. Let's take a look at the actual motion. It should be sent around in the email of the announcing this call, because I included the GNSO agenda. Oh, I can't find it. Okay, so following the recommendations of the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group, the GNSO Council requested a discussion paper on the creation of non-binding best practices to help registrars and registries address the abusive registrations of domain names. The discussion paper recommended the creation of two working groups, one to establish the framework for best practices and one to propose candidate best practices to address the abusive registration of domain names. The council must now consider a motion to set up a drafting team to create the charter for these groups.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Okay, so that's... Okay, Kathy's got her hand up, or had her hand up, too. Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay, so the drafting team is creating a charter for these new working groups, these two new working groups that are coming up. Do we have a candidate for the drafting team? Is there someone coming in from our from NCSC?
I think this is the first time we've discussed it, so I think the answer is no. I hope you're volunteering, I take it? Yes?
No, absolutely not. I'm still finishing the Who Is Review Team report. But in answer to Bill's to what Bill threw out, this is potentially, I believe this is potentially risky, that it is a slippery slope, and that it definitely leads to peril under certain circumstances. What we have to do, I mean, after so many years, and we all know it, what is, you know, what's the box around abusive registrations? How's it defined? Because, you know, for some people, anything they don't like is an abusive registration. Anything that doesn't fit their model of the world is an abusive registration. Now, there are abusive registrations in the world, but it's certainly not a box that big. And so we've just got to make sure we've got somebody on there making sure this doesn't go too far at every step of the way, including on the drafting team.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. That's pretty much where I was as well, was, you know, I could just see the definitions for what counts as an abusive registration. You know, somebody that has one character wrong listed on their data or something. Oh, it's erroneous information. That counts as abusive. And, you know, I mean, I could really see this being a huge slippery slope and being exactly the kind of issue that is at the forefront of what NCSG cares about. But again, like you said, it depends on, you know, what happens in this group and how far afield. Are they allowed to expand definitions or to make recommendations for things? So I'm nervous about it. I'm not saying don't do it, but, you know, I'm nervous about it that it could be stacked with the trademark lobbyists. And, you know, once again, we would be outnumbered and the working group would come up with recommendations that do not take into account our point of view, and we would simply be the minority in the group, just like what happened in the IOC Red Cross issue, and so our views would get disregarded, and they would come out with a report that greatly expands what counts as, can be defined as a abusive registration, and this would be considered in the industry a best practice and cited in other publications and used by WIPO to build upon, and so I do see it being a slippery slope, and I do see it being an issue that we should be very concerned with, potentially. Okay, so that's my view. Does anyone else who want to add on this?
I just share your feelings, for me it's difficult now to say, you know, we should vote against it or, you know, in favor. You know, you never can stop the building of groups if you have no consensus or if new issues are appear. But you are absolutely right, you know, the slippery slope is here.
So I'm wondering if there's a way that maybe if we look at the motion, we could try to tweak it a little bit to give it some boundaries or limit the damage it could do. Or, I mean, because if there's a sense that this is a motion that's going to pass and it's, you know, really going to not be plausible to argue against it, how can we limit it? How can we try to take some of its teeth out of it?
I would say you do that within the drafting team. I mean, the issue is the scope of what's given to the working groups to work on. And at this point, we're just saying create a drafting team that will figure out the charter. So to vote no on creating a drafting team at the front end is like saying, you know, because we imagine the 35 ways in which down the line this could get taken over, whatever, in the wrong direction, we're going to be at the front end obstructionist. On simply creating a drafting team, that would be silly to me. So I'd say we do have to participate, obviously, and get in there and make sure that the drafting team comes up with a charter for the working group that is properly circumscribed. not circumcised. Circumcised.
Castrated might be appropriate,
though. Yes, you know, so let, at this stage, I don't think we have to, I mean, won't be the point of monkeying around with you know, a language saying, let's create a drafting team to do it.
Well, what I don't think anyone is saying, no, you know, let's fight the drafting team. What I think, at least what I was saying, was let's make sure it can't, that let's limit the scope of the work of the team. And that can be done by the motion that you're doing tomorrow. Let's try to keep it confined in some way so it can't get out of hand. I'm not saying, you know, be against it, but just tweak. Maybe we could look at tweaking it to see if there's some way we could restrict or at least confine the issues or...
I understand what you're saying, Rob, but I'm just saying, does it make more sense to do that within the drafting team that's coming up with the actual charters for the working groups?
I don't think it's an either-or. I think we have to do it, you know, we have to do it at the outset. It's, you know, it's extremely important because that is determining the charter. And when you say, you know, the charter to do X, it's the X that we're talking about here. And so limiting what X is will limit what that group can ultimately do. So I don't think it's an either-or. I think we want to keep our eye on it and try to confine it in the creation of the drafting team as well as in the work that the team does.
Mm-hmm. If you have a suggestion, send it to the list. We'll debate it before the call tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, because I think that would take some time to really look at and maybe do some wordsmithing and thinking about more than we can do on this call right now. But that's just was my thoughts on it. Does anyone else have anything they want to add on this one? Okay, let's go on to the update on joint applicant support, the Jazz Working Group. Avery, you've been in Rafiq, you guys have been in this group. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on here? Okay, Avery's got her hand up, I think.
It's an accident because I got locked out of Adobe Connect and I just came back in.
Okay.
I would say Rafiq should go on it since he's the chair of Jazz. I'm just the chair of the corresponding group in the at-large.
Okay, Rafiq, can you give us a bit of an update with the Jazz Working Group?
The Jazz King.
So, how to say, after the final report, the Jazz Working Group was not so active. We had just sometimes that the subgroup from the Jazz to discuss with staff and some board members about the implementation plan. So sometimes they bring kind of proposal and we discuss and we comment to review it. So I think just to bring the context why now the GNSO Council is interested about the Jazz updates is that the last time, I'm not sure, maybe a few weeks ago, the staff came with a proposal about how to select the member of the SARP. The SARP is stands for the Support Applicant Review Panel, those people who will evaluate the needy applicant and select who are eligible for the support. So there was, I think, one of the proposals that raised the concerns of Jeff Newman, which is about the involvement of the Jazz Working Group members in the process, because we had the staff proposed that what they called the CMR, community member. Yeah, community. Can you hear me or? Because nobody.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
We can hear
go
you.
Ahead.
Yeah. So this community member and supposed to help in the process of to help the review panel, but not to be involved in the evaluation or the selection itself, but to help for the selection of the SARB members and so on. So that raises concerns for Jeff that he thinks that the community should be involved, and so he is questioning why the Jazz working group is involved here. So I guess that will that's why they ask it for the update from the staff and not from the liaison or the chairs of the working group. That's important to mention. And so I guess when they the talk when it will be about the SARP selection, so they question question about the continuation of the Jazz working group. I want to remind that the Jazz working group was asked by the last motion approved. I don't remember. Maybe in October it was asked to continue working in reviewing the implementation plan. So that's why we are continuing the work to review what the implementation plan proposed by the staff. So, and I think that basically what will be discussed tomorrow, and I guess there will be some heat and some. It will be quite controversial why the working some members of the Jazz working group will be involved in the evaluation process, not to select the not to select the SARP members. That will be done by the ICANN and the third party, but we are supposed as CMR, these community members, just to evaluate the process, to assess the process, and to help, to assist the SARP members. But we are not going to, the CMR are not going to be, to evaluate or to participate in the selection of the needy applicant who will be eligible for the support.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Rafiq. So, what's the what's the next steps for this?
What do you mean by next step for the Jazz working group or for tomorrow?
Well, okay, let's start with tomorrow.
So tomorrow, it's supposed that Kurt will give an update to the GENESO Council. And so I guess he will discuss about this last proposal for the SARP because it's the time. It's they want to start as soon as possible to select the SARP members, and so we start the training and preparing the material for the training and so on.
So is there something that we should be doing in the meantime that you would recommend, or are we just waiting to for this discussion on council?
So I'm just I had only discussion maybe with Avery to see how what we can, because I'm just worried that they want to the GENESO Council may want to ask for to disband the Jazz working group.
I see. I see. Okay, and you're so you're concerned that they may ask to disband the Jazz working group. Okay, I see. Avery's got her hand up. Avery, please go ahead.
Okay, if you're looking for what can be done to support, I think at this point is to support what Jazz did in terms of appointing. Community resource members, or whatever the CRM stands for. So I think the fact is that when somebody jumps on well, how dare they? That goes beyond what we, you know, enable them to do, is to sort of say, listen, you know, those were Jazz members and supporting the fact that they appointed them, as Rafiq says, only to advise on Jazz recommendations and process, not to participate in a selection. Now, this is a personal comment, and I hope Rafiq won't take it badly. If the GNSO Council closes Jazz, I can certainly live with that, because the at-large new GTLD working group has invited all Jazz members to join it. It can continue to provide the function without the GNSO, you know, constantly saying, no, we don't want to implement supporting people, et cetera, and, you know, continue to do the process. I don't think the process will stop if the GNSO will certainly, from the at-large side, argue no way is it going to stop if GNSO gets huffy and you know, closes its working group. In fact, the working group will probably still stay open under at-large's charter. So all the GNSO can do is pull out of it. So I don't really care if that happens.
It sounds like the at-large working group might be a friendlier forum for this issue. It sounds like that's what you're saying. That's the place for the issue to go forward.
That's, well, I mean, we in that group sort of been handling it, but Jazz owns the token of having made the recommendation. So even when the at-large group did something about Jazz, it always restricted picking people who had been part of the Jazz working group and never picking people who happened to be at large but not have been members. And so, you know, what we've been doing is sort of working on this double track at the moment, trying to stay away from Jeff Newman in the role of third rail. And you know, so coming back to what you all can do tomorrow, the counselors, is keep it from touching the third rail.
Rafiq, can you live with that? How would you feel about the work closing down from the GNSO perspective, but going forward in the at-large forum?
I will, if they want to close, I want them to first, the GNSO Council to act on the final report is not approval to know. I can leave. It's not the problem. I think the Jazz Working Group, we are just now reviewing the last proposal. What they hope that we can finish that work, but if they want, the GNSO Council want to disband the working group, they have also to communicate with the ALAC, so they cannot act from only from their side. So especially in the context of the community working group. So if they want to make any action, they have first to discuss with the ALAC. So and that maybe give us the time so we can push the staff to finish to send all the final proposal for the implementation plan, and then just working group can focus. And I will be happy really to let the working group to finish, because it's now it's 2 years that we started the process. That I think it's normal that at some level to stop. And if the ALAC want to continue from their side, I don't see any problem. I'm just thinking. So we shouldn't like stop like this, but we had we were asked to finish to review the implementation plan. So if they give us enough time and we push the staff, so why not?
Okay. Any other, particularly counselors, have a view on how to steer this in tomorrow's GNSO meeting?
I'll just say that I understand the desire to say goodbye and make everything a lot easier by taking the GNSO out of it. But at another level, it also makes me feel like we're basically officially saying now that this is all ALEC's baby, and since that's one way of telling the story that's been around there for a long time, which always kind of ignored the fact that NC had anything to do with it from the start, that makes me a little bit feel funny about that. But the practical reality is obviously your life will be a lot easier if you don't have to deal with the GNSO anymore, so sure.
Okay. Okay, I see Aubrey has her hand up. Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick bit on, you know, I think that in terms of Jazz, in terms of everything, I don't think NC's role in that will disappear, and I can pretty much make sure that NC is included as NC wants to be in the at-large working group. I think in terms of carrying it forward and getting credit for it, I think ALEC certainly deserves the credit and not the GNSO that has dragged its heels and fought it all the way through, despite the fact that non-commercials kept trying to get them to do the right thing. So, but I don't think, you know, we're going to lose. And I think anything that the GNSO does that's, you know, more curmudgeon on the support program is going to look bad for GNSO. At this point, this is a losing topic for the GNSO. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else have any thoughts on this this issue, the working group? Okay, so let's move on to item number 5, pass forward for who is access recommendation. Okay, and I actually wasn't entirely sure what this issue on the GNSO Council's agenda was about. So let me just read what it says on the GNSO Council agenda. The WHO is Access recommendation was considered as part of the consent agenda at the Council's 16 February 2012 meeting. At that meeting, the ISP constituency requested that this proposal to end this work be removed from the consent agenda and considered as part of the GNSO's main agenda. A further suggestion was suggested that constituency stakeholder group members work with staff to identify a path forward and that the topic be further discussed. It says at the Costa Rica meetings, but obviously those are behind us. This agenda item is to determine what next steps, if any, should be planned for this project item. Okay, so does anyone from council or who's been working on the WHO is issues have a better understanding of what this issue is on the council's agenda for tomorrow? Okay. Doesn't sound like
this,
it.
This is Wendy, and I asked for it to be put on for discussion because we didn't know what it was when it was put on the consent agenda. I still don't know what it is, but at least it will be discussed.
Right. Okay. So it says on the council agenda, it says update from staff. So I guess staff is going to has something in mind for council on this. And maybe we should just wait and hear back from councilors tomorrow after the meeting and after we get some further clarification about this issue. Anyone have any other thoughts on that? Okay. All right. So we can dispose of that one pretty quickly. Next issue on the agenda is the new GTLD application issues, the TAS delay, for example. So staff put out a notice, I think it was this morning, that said May 22nd was when the TAS would reopen and they would accept the remaining few applications that had yet to be completed, and they would close the process by Memorial Day. So that's the latest update from staff on the TAS delay.
Ruben, it's 22nd May of this year or of next year?
Oh, Rafiq, you kill me. That's a good point. I think they meant 2012, May 22nd, but... You know, that's a good point. It could be another year. No, I think they made 2012. So, I don't know. Does anyone have anything they want to say on the new GTLD application issues, or particularly the TAS delay?
Maybe I saw that the board decided that to refund those who want to withdraw from the program, and... is it that possible to make such change in the process, or the board can decide any time such thing? And also I saw an interview of Rod saying that they may punish those applicants who may benefited from saying other applicant names. I'm not sure how they can do that, but it's interesting in terms of process how the ICANN board will deal with this famous glitch.
Right. Okay. Like Wendy has her hand raised. Wendy, did you have something to add on this?
Well, I wondered, generally, should we be thinking of something to say, given that this seems to be sort of the key issue for ICANN, the organization, right now? You know, can they show themselves to be competent at managing a process, and what sorts of liabilities will they face for all of this total screw-up? More concisely, do we want to say any? Would this be a time to reconsider the extra complications that they've added on digital archery, the secondary timestamps? Given that they can't manage a simple application form, wouldn't they be better off choosing a process that doesn't subject themselves to so much variability for the batching procedure?
Yeah.
I think Wendy raises a point which also, you know, what I have experienced the last couple of weeks is that, you know, this issue could become a rather strategic issue for future of ICANN as a whole. There was a meeting of the so-called high-level Internet Governance Working Group of the European Union. It was not the European Commission, so it's the member states, the 27 member states. And they had it's a closed meeting, but, you know, I got some information from people who participated, and, you know, there was a broad discussion which reopened the debate about ICANN oversight. So that means we made mistakes with the financial sector, you know, there was not enough oversight, and we cannot allow that, you know, a body, you know, takes care of a critical resource, you know, moves $500 million, and then, you know, makes such mistakes. So that means the question of governmental oversight will reappear as a side effect of this disaster. And in so far, you know, my interpretation from the statement which was released just a couple of days ago by the White House, the Department of State, and the Department of Commerce is, in my eyes, a reaction to what happened in the EU, and saying, okay, we still commit ourselves to this multi-stakeholder approach, and they mentioned ICANN, the IETF, and the World Wide Web Consortium. I don't know whether you have seen the statement. David Weitzer, Larry Strickling, and the Ambassador Verwehr from the State Department. So I think this is could become now a real issue again for an EU-US controversy, which we have seen already in the process which has led us to Singapore, and in particular in Singapore. So I think we should, each of us, you know, should rethink what are the political implications of this disaster. So it's not just, you know, to get the whole thing fixed. So it raises some questions which are go far beyond, you know, the issues of the GNSS Council.
Yeah, and I have some thoughts on this as well, but first let me get to Avery and Kathy, who have raised their hands. Avery, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I think, first of all, to answer Rafiq's question on the refund, of course the board can do it. The board, as I've been saying very often,
can do almost anything at once. The only possibilities are things inside the picket fence, and they can even do that if they have to. So, of course, the board can do it, and this refund is really only in an extra of $5,000. It's basically a refund of the TAS, because the whole refund pulling out before reveal was always in the process. I don't see this as a disaster. I think it's wonderful that the European Union is trying to define it as a disaster in their ongoing campaign to get some sort of, you know, reason for living in the Internet. I don't see that as an issue. I think Wendy's issue on digital archery, though, does open up a set of problems and you know, issues in that a lot of people are now advertising that, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but they're advertising that, you know, they can get you closer to point of co-location or something or other to be able to sell you an advantage in getting in the first batch. Now, A, I don't know if this is true. B, ICANN, in its initial letter, did say, and we will do everything we need to do to keep anyone from being able to game this. Now, there's a problem. Part of me sort of says, okay, tell us how you're doing that. But, of course, if you tell people how to do that, then you just give them more information for gaming the solution. So I don't know how we go about getting a, you know, NDA-empowered group of people from various constituencies, stakeholder groups, and whatever, to basically get explained how they're going to keep people from gaming digital archery and what they're going to do about the people who are now selling a service that allows digital archery to be claimed, I mean, to be gained. And, you know, and I think the repercussion of this one is, as opposed to just, you know, a delay in closing the application period, which I don't think is a great disaster. If at the end of digital archery find out that people were able to game it, that then does become a gigantic liability for, you know, for ICANN, because being delayed a month, everybody being delayed a month may have a price attached to it, but it's not huge, and it's equal. Being delayed from the first batch to the fourth batch is a much bigger financial impact and much more, and it's an unequal one, that if you can show that somebody successfully sold a service to get people in the first round, that is a problem. So I think that Wendy's issue is the important one.
Thanks very much, Aubrey. Kathy, you have the floor.
I'm going to defer to the experts on digital archery, although it was interesting just to echo back to the INTA meeting that I went to. There was some encouragement for people who, like the dot brands, they said, you know, if you don't want to fight in the first round, and you know, put yourself in a ladder round. So I know a lot of us are thinking about how people are going to get into the first round and game it, but it, I don't know, this whole batching thing is very strange. So I will defer to you guys on that. Regarding the disaster or lack thereof, I'm really concerned about the challenges to ICANN that are emerging out of this. I don't think this is a disaster because I understand that very little information was disclosed, that it was very, very limited. It was reported quickly, and the system was shut down quickly. And I think there are people who will use this to, you know, for the forces that want to fight ICANN. And I still like ICANN. I like the multi-stakeholder model. So I think, you know, if we have to take sides, I would prefer not to be attacking ICANN on this particular point.
Yes, I fully agree. I just wanted to raise awareness that such arguments are flying around.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, I didn't know about the letter from the White House, and Larry Strickling. So I think it's a good letter, and It's the lines are being drawn even more against ICANN.
Yeah, that's really what I've seen as well. And so, I mean, while I understand, yes, I can screw it up and they look bad and, you know, but, geez, the whole world is coming down on them right now as a result. Do we really need to add our voices to the chorus? I don't think it would add anything, A. And, B, I'm concerned for exactly what Wolfgang and Kathy are talking about is, you know, what would be the result of this criticism. And I fear that it is just being used by governments to say, you know, oh, see, this here's another example that just goes to show that this, you know, self-regulation doesn't work. Work and ICANN needs to be under more governmental authority and really point to this and use it for that purpose. And so, you know, that's really why I'm concerned about this. And you know, it's like this was the first time they did this. This was brand new for everyone. Everyone's building this whole system from scratch. Mistakes are bound to happen, really. I mean, I don't think that this is such a terrible, you know, thing for really for ICANN to get as much criticism as it has gotten. You know, this we're all trying this for the first time, and we're going to make mistakes. And, you know, it sounds like it really wasn't the end of the world. I mean, so I just don't see really what, at the end of the day, the harm is from this other than, oh, ICANN just looks like, you know, they're not so good. Okay, so I see we've got two hands raised, Wendy and then Kathy. Go
so
ahead.
First I want to say
put me on that queue.
Sorry, who's?
Yeah, I'm not on the Adobe either. I'd like to raise my hand.
Okay, so then we've got Wendy.
So Alex
Kat,
and Bill.
And, okay. Alex. Did I hear Alex in there?
So what?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Wendy.
So what I was saying was precisely in line with what those following me said. I think I wasn't suggesting that we jump on the bandwagon of criticizing ICANN, but is there something that we can do to constructively criticize and or help them? I think to the rest, to the outside world, especially those who haven't been involved in the process, this looks like a disaster, especially when people bandy about the number $350 million in the bank and they still can't explain to us what happened. I expect large figure lawsuits. I expect more noise from governments. So if we can position ourselves as helping to, you know, moderate the criticism, suggest constructive ways forward, I think we can offer help. I don't think we should be silent.
Right. Okay. That's really helpful. Kathy, did you have something to add on this?
Yeah, following up on what Robin said, I'm not sure how much we have to go out there and be a cheerleader for ICANN. They made a mistake. But I think, you know, can I suggest a position that we, you know, what you said, Robin, that it's not the end of the world, and that we just start pushing for the new GTLDs, that this is not an excuse to stop the process, that if anything, the massive number of applications suggests that, you know, lots and lots and lots of people want their new GTLDs, and let's go on. Let's get past this. Let's go on, and let's keep the process going. That our position be let's push for the new GTLD timeline to go forward as quickly as possible.
Great, thanks. Okay, so I've got Bill and I've got Alex.
Well, you know, when people started to get agitated about this on the council list and say, well, this shows that we need to fundamentally rethink ICANN and go back to start, and I was like, oh, my God, are you kidding? You know, I don't feel this way at all about this. It is a problem, but it's not an enormous problem. So I am with everybody who says, you know, let's not turn this into a more operatic drama than it is. It was a fuck-up, and it was significant, and it has to be fixed, and they have to make amends. At the same time, I don't really see, personally, that we need to spend political capital trying to defend them. They've got staff. They've got people. I think the priority is simply to say, you know, the process should go forward in the appropriate way, ensuring that the public interest kinds of concerns that we've always articulated are going to be on the agenda, and, you know, I don't really see any way to leverage this particular glitch to advance that. And I guess the other thing I would just say real quickly is about Wolfgang's point. You know, the Europeans always love to complain about ICANN. You know, I mean, I live here, and every time I talk to government people, it's bitch and moan about incompetent, they're... But if you tell any of them, okay, fine, put it on the table, tell me what your alternative is, they shut up immediately.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know? So it's just another chance for them to all feel superior and make snide remarks and say, oh, we could do it better. But they can't, and they know they can't. They could never run this, and they wouldn't have any, even the ability to oversee the running of it, and they know that. So, it's, you know, I really... Don't get too excited when, you know, the commissioner and her acolytes start jumping up and down. They don't need any prompting. They do that all the time anyway. They change their position in the ITU and say ITU should take things, then I'll believe it. Until then, who cares?
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Alex? Hello, Alex?
Robin, by the way, it's 6:30. I have to leave the call now. Thank you very much, and see you next time.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Wolfgang. Did we lose Alex on the call?
And Robin, I will be leaving in a few minutes, too, and do want to say something about ICANN Academy. I don't know if that's in your AOB.
Okay. Well, we're okay. No problem. We're almost wrapping up here. It seems like we've lost Alex on the call, so if he comes back on, he can get his place back in the queue. Did anyone else have anything they wanted to add on this issue? I think Wendy makes a good point, though, in terms of we need to think about how we respond to this issue and how when we discuss it, you know, we try to not let it be used to remove or to bring more governmental oversight or take away the multi-stakeholder model. And so I think we do need to think about, you know, how can we spin this in a way that, while recognizing the mistake, doesn't do further harm by undermining the multi-stakeholder model. Okay, so did anyone else have anything, or should we move on? Okay, so the next issue is the update on the SSAC work and the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group.
Okay.
I'm sorry, did somebody say something? Okay, sorry, I thought I heard somebody jump in there. I don't think we've got David on the call anymore, unfortunately, to update us on the SSAC. But this was an issue that was on the council agenda for tomorrow, which was why I put it on our agenda. So this is what they say on the council agenda. The IRD submitted, which is the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group, submitted its final report to the GNSO Council and the SSAC on March 3rd for review and approval. However, SSAC has recommended some substantial changes, and more work may now be needed by the IRD before its final report can be considered. This agenda item is to provide an update on these latest developments in the IRD's working group to the council. So it's a working group update from the staff. So I'm not really familiar with this IRD working group and, you know, what it's up to. So if anybody else can give us some information on this group and this issue on the council agenda for tomorrow, I'd really appreciate it. Avery has her hand up.
Avery?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm on the IRD. I don't believe that there are substantive changes that SSAC approved. And in fact, I think I just sent, a couple days ago, I sent the pointer to the document or whatever to the NCSG discuss list to see if anybody had any views. My view of the changes SBAC made was basically to mandate formats for things like, you know, while waiting for all the rest of this designing a new structure recommendations and the issues report and whatever this made, what they added was, and let's do telephone numbers in the properly defined format by the IETF, and let's do this in the format defined by these people. Now, I can understand why it would appear to be a big thing to perhaps a registry or a registrar, in that those who are using non-standard methods of recording those things may have to spend some money and do some coding. But I don't see that there's anything significant from a policy perspective in this other than to say, you know, use a standardized format for data. So that's what SAC has added to it. And basically, I think today's the last day for comments. I already put in basically my comment saying I don't see the issue, but I did put in a caveat saying if I got any further feedback from, you know, the stakeholder group, I would pass it on. But since I haven't gotten any, that's pretty much where I'm leaving things.
Okay. Thank you very much for that update. Does anyone else have something they wanted to add on this? I see no hands in the queue. Anyone want to just jump in then? All right. Very good. Let's move on to the last item on the agenda, which is the open public comments. And we can take a look at the public comment page in more detail, but there's one in particular that I wanted to raise, which was the ICANN has come out with their draft proposed budget for financial year 2013. And, you know, this is an issue that comment was just opened on. It's open until May 24th. And then they'll be accepting reply comments until June 15th. And so this was an issue I wanted to flag as a comment we may want to take a look at. I've looked at the budget and just scanned it, and I haven't really had a chance to look at it in more detail, but I think that it is something that we want to comment on, because obviously how ICANN spends its money is a very real-world interpretation of its priorities, and so just wanting to make sure that the priorities are in line with the concerns of the non-commercial users, I think is an issue that we should spend a little time and attention on. So I'll look at it a little bit further, but if anyone else would like to as well, work with me on that, I'd appreciate it. Did anyone else have any comments on this particular, the draft financial year 13 budget issue, or any of the other comments, open comments that are open now? Okay, well.
Yes, quick.
Yes, please.
Update. Nobody has any interest at all in the competition, choice, and whatever, trust work.
Oh, I don't know. What's
people in that public comment period in the past?
When does that one end? Today?
Extended to 8 May, yes.
What are their public comments? So that would be.
Nobody seems to have any interest in this.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think we should think about. I don't think we've given it really the thought yet to decide whether or not
That was the point of my plea. Does anyone have any time to devote to it?
Didn't you say it was already over?
Since when has that stopped them from taking comments?
Well, there is. Actually, they're getting much better at stopping. Are we in the reply period now, or did that end?
Looks like the reply period ended yesterday.
The reply period?
The extended reply period ended yesterday. I'm guessing if we were to submit a comment in the next day or two, it would probably get submitted. But my question is, what do we have to say on this? I haven't.
The group is totally broken. Its metrics are wrong, and the whole thing should be thrown out.
You should have sent that comment in for yourself. And if I can add, this is Avery. I think
yes.
We need to do more. I think it's great if we get more group comments. But I think at this point we also have to recognize that often we're not going to get group comments, and that those of us that do have individual comments should submit them early in the process and then try and get the rest of us to sign on to them.
That's a great point, Avery. I think oftentimes we don't make a comment because we can't all agree on exactly the same point. But really, if we were all just to lend our individual viewpoints, even if it's just a paragraph or two, I think it would go a long way in helping to shape the policies and to bring more awareness to the NCESG. So I think I agree with that. But going back to Wendy's comment on this consumer choice and competition group, Wendy, it sounds like maybe you've given it some thought and have a pretty clear position on this. Is this something that you have some time and energy
no.
to do in the next couple of days?
What I would suggest is that, Wendy sounds like it could be a good quick paragraph, and maybe she could sneak it in before the end. And then the NCSG, policy committee could look at it and perhaps quickly say, yeah, we endorse Wendy's, or not. But if you sent a paragraph just saying that, what you said, maybe, at least there's something in there.
And we're only one day late. I've never known them to not accept a comment one day late. So I want to second Avery's proposal and ask Wendy to send in a paragraph, and then we'll see if we can get the policy committee to endorse that in the following day or two.
Okay. Robin, I need to leave, and I just want to know, is NCSG going to put somebody in the group on the ICANN Academy or no? Because we're going to discuss this tomorrow.
We should put you...
I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will if it goes forward. It's just my understanding that tomorrow's discussion is to figure out if it should go forward or I don't know.
No. Olivier is forming a group. They're doing their thing. Whether Stefan wants to be stuffy about whether it should go forward, that's a whole other question. They're forming a group, and he's been bugging me and I think others to please say yes or no who's representing you. So David asked me if I would represent NCUC. I just want to know, is NCSG going to have somebody as a representative?
Well, I got an email from Olivier on it, and I expect that I'd be happy to help or somebody else would. So I think the answer is yes, but I don't know yet who that would be or, the particulars for that.
Okay. Then I can say there'll be somebody. That's all I need to know. I have to roll.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be good because that would be a third person from here because I'm already on it as an at-large person.
Great.
All right. See you. Bye.
All right. Thanks. Okay. So we have, let me just go back to the discussion here at hand. So if Wendy has got the time and inclination to send in a pair.
No, Wendy doesn't have time.
Okay. All right, so were there any other comments that folks wanted to raise and get us to spend a little bit of attention on? What's open here? We've got the fake renewal notices report. Common is open for a couple more days on that. The .com registry agreement renewal. Common is open until the 17th on that. These are reply comments I'm referring to. The second annual IDN CCTLD fast track process review. The reply period closes May 21st. The .dot post agreement amendment. The comment period closes on that today. The reply period will close on May 30th. And then there's the ICANN draft financial year 2013 operating plan and budget. The period closes on the 24th of May. The reply period closes on June 15th. And the IDN variant TLD program revised program plan, the comment period closes on that May 25th, and the reply period is June 15th. So these are the open comment periods right now. Does anyone think we should pay more attention to any of these and consider drafting some comments? Okay, hearing nothing, then I'm gonna look at the draft budget one a little bit more closely, and if anyone else would like to work with me on that, that'd be great.
You have your financial committee, don't you?
We do.
Well, they can work on it with you.
Great. Okay. Okay, so I think that's all the comment periods. The final issue on the agenda for today is any other business. Was there anything else anybody wanted to add? Bill raised the Academy issue.
I want to congratulate David on taking on the role of NCUC.
Congratulate or condolences.
So we've gone already, I guess, yeah. Get that on the record.
Right. Yes, thank you, David. We are very much in your debt for agreeing to take on this role and workload on short notice and at a critical time. So thank you. And Constantinos is going off to work with the Internet Society, and so won't be the chair of NCUC any longer, unfortunately, but he'll still be an NCUC-NCSG member.
When's ISOC going to join?
Well, a number of their chapters are members.
I'm talking about ISOC itself.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great question that we should ask them. So, on that note, did anyone else want to add any other business? Or shall we call it a day, 10 minutes ahead of schedule?
Okay.
All right, hearing no more discussion, let's call this meeting to a close, and thank you all very much for participating, and we will continue online. Thanks again.
Bye.
Bye.